If you would grab your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 139. As you are turning there, just want to remind us where we've been. We've been looking at the attributes of God, and so we have seen that God is self-existent. He doesn't need us, but yet he has chosen to love us. He is holy, 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 completely set apart. His ways are not our ways, and thank God for that, right? And then we have also seen that he is all-knowing. He knows everything about you. He knows everything of your past. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows the end from the beginning. And so as we have looked at these attributes of God, it is super exciting as we continue. I just want to mention with him being holy, 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 it is also a description of all of his attributes, that his grace is a holy grace. His love is a holy love, so it is completely set apart, and it is not like ours. Today, what we're going to look at is him being omnipresent, which means that he is ever present. He is present in all situations, and a couple things that it is not. It does not mean that he is a pantheism, which means that, which would be described that God is literally in or a part of creation. So in other words, God is not the tree, he is not the river, he is not the things, but he is God and has created all things. It also does not mean that he is divided up. So there's a part of him here in Oklahoma and then a separate part of him in Africa. No. He is fully present in everywhere at every moment. And so as we look at this, we need to see. There's a theologian named Louis Burkhoff that described it this way, that God is present regarding his essence, meaning he is there, his knowledge, meaning that he sees it, and also his power, which means he sustains it. And so as we look at this, we have a God who is completely self-existent, completely sustains all of life, every breath that we breathe, every thought that comes to our mind is sustained by God. But what we will look at is he is a God who is with us. So if you're taking notes, first thing I want you to see is we see this throughout the Word of God is that he is a God who is with us. He tells many of his people throughout creation that he is with them. Joshua, one of my favorite passages is Joshua chapter 1. Moses has just died. Joshua's getting ready to lead the people, and he tells him not to be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And what a great promise that he gave him. I think of Isaiah 41:10. He says, "So do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you." He is a God who is with us. Zephaniah 3, he says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you." He is a God who is with us. So with that in mind, if you don't mind, just with me giving honor to the Word of God, stand as we read Psalm 139. We'll start in verse 1. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. Father, thank you for your presence right here with us. Help us to acknowledge that you are here. Not just because you promised to be here, but you are here because you are everywhere. And Lord, as we'll see in the scripture today, we thank you that you are in us, that your spirit is here with us and in us to lead and guide us. And I pray that today that our eyes will be opened to understand that, to believe in the power that you have placed in us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And I pray that today we will believe that and walk in that. And so, God, we need you. Open our eyes to see, lead, and guide us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Here today, we see that God is with us. And because he is with us, because he is ever present, there is nowhere that we can run, nowhere that we can hide. We do not hide ourselves from this God because he is everywhere. Think about that as we think about all of our culture, and even as we look to Adam and Eve, they hid themselves because they were ashamed of what they had done. But here David is pointing out, not that he is writing out of fear, but he's pointing out this moment of awe, that he recognizes how great and powerful God is. And that is my prayer, is that we too will recognize that same power and that we would respond with awe. All of his presence, all of his glory, and of his power. And so here we see that he points out vertically. In verse 7, he says, where should I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there, obviously. But even if I make my bed in Sheol, which is another word for the depths of death, or could even mention the darkness of hell, he says, even if I were to make my bed there or camp out there or live in the place of darkness, he says, you are even there. And so I think that there are some times in our lives that we reach this places of darkness, even as we think about this world that we live in, the brokenness of this world and how dark it is becoming, even if we somehow find ourselves in the depths of despair or of depression, let us even know that God is there. And he is all the time calling us to come out from that. He even talks about the width of horizon. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, if I could go to the ends of the earth, he is there. Like, there is nowhere in which I can hide. And you can try to isolate. You can try to take yourself away from whatever situation. You can run. But I want to remind you that God is there as well. I think that sometimes we find ourselves in these very tough situations and we want out, and I understand that. But running isn't the answer. And so I've told you this many times, what I find myself doing when trouble comes, when there's a trial or a storm that is waging, instead of shaking my fist at God, why would you let this happen? I found that it is a better question to ask, God, what do you want me to do now? Because I know that he's there. I know this wasn't a shock to him. We looked at last week that he knows all things. And so he knows that I'm in this moment right now. So he knows. He knows that you're there. He knows that you're struggling. And he knows exactly what you need. Even in our Bible study this morning, think of how he takes care. Like, I don't have to be anxious about tomorrow or what I'm going to eat or drink. He knows. So I can seek first his kingdom and know that he's going to provide everything that's needed. And he's there. And so he challenged us to look at it differently. Have a different perspective. Instead, push your treasure onto heaven. Don't make this world our treasure, which we're so tempted to do. And so, if you would, turn with me to John chapter 14. I want you to see something. Jesus makes this shift. It's a shift from God being with us to what Jesus would promise and has been promising his people. Even the prophets prophesied that this would take place, that one day the Spirit would come and be in us. So God makes this transition. Not only is he with us, but he promises that he's going to be in us. Don't miss this. This is good. Chapter 14 of John, here, a question is asked to Jesus. We know the Father, and he says, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We are one. Verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Isn't that awesome? Like, here Jesus is saying that the things he does because God is in him. And then he's getting ready to tell you and me that God is in you. And so if Jesus is saying the words that have come not on his own authority, but the God that is in him, then what kind of words should you and I be saying? Think about that. I don't know if that's landed yet, but I want you to think about it. Like, here Jesus is sitting here saying, God is in me. Now, we know Jesus is God, but I want you, he's helping them to understand. He's saying, God is in me. The words I say are from the God that is working in me. And he's getting ready to tell us that God is in you. And if God is in you, then I think it should bring some life and should bring some identity then to who you are and to who I am. Like, if you claim to be in Jesus and Jesus in you, then there is a clarity that should come. He's getting ready to say, if you love me, you're going to obey my commands. Why? Because I'm in you. And if I'm in you, then what kind of things should you be doing? So here, he's going to unpack it. Are you ready? Believe me that I am in the Father, Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Like, in other words, God is in me. Look at the works that I do. That should be evident. I think the same for you. If God is in you, should be very evident by how you act, the words that you say. If it's not, should at least bring question. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. If you don't hear anything else today, if God is in you, you should be doing the works that Jesus does. You should be loving the people like Jesus because he's in you. But then he even tells us, and greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Here's the transition. Are you ready? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him. For he dwells with you, but here's the transition, and he will be in you. Up until this moment, God has been with his people. God is everywhere, ever present. He is with you. But because Jesus went to the cross, rose from the dead, and ascended to the Father, now the Holy Spirit has come. And now God is in you. Man, don't miss that. I think that if we would understand this and walk in this, that the living God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is living inside the life and mind and heart of the believer, then therefore we would live our lives with this expectation that we would speak the very words that are alive in us. Then we would act and respond and forgive and generously give our lives because the Spirit of God is in us. But for whatever reason, we miss that. And so look, we can put on the wall that, hey, I'm going to live truth. I'm going to believe the Word of God as we've just read it. That's easy to say, I believe it, but quite another to live it, right? I can say and put on the wall here in this room that we're going to depend on God, which we depend on him whether we acknowledge that or not, because he sustains every breath anyway. So you're dependent upon God. But it's important that you depend on him by abiding in him and walking with him. And listen, as we have learned these attributes and we fall in love with God, we're naturally, because he's alive in us, and the more we love him, the more he's going to come alive in us. It's natural that we're going to love people because that's his heart. And listen, we're going to make disciples. That's the mission he's given us. And as you make disciples who make disciples, then I want to tell you, then the ends of the earth. I believe that if, because we know, we can see in just the disciples, 12 men who wanted nothing but the will of God, here we are on the other sides of the earth making disciples because they were obedient to do that. And I'm just saying, I believe the same will be true, that if First Baptist Skytook will want nothing but to fulfill and seek and live out the will of God by making disciples, I believe it will reach to the ends of the earth, including the Thai Dom. And so I'm just saying, here we are. And listen, we can say we prioritize the kingdom of God, but it's quite different to live that way. Because then our treasures will not be found here on earth. We'll be pushing them on to eternity. And so today, this is what I'm calling us. Here, he has placed the Spirit in us. And listen, he says, I will not leave you of orphans. Jesus speaking here, I will come to you. Yet in a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Down in verse 23, he says that the Father, he says, we will come and make our home with him. Like, who's coming? Is it the Father? Is it the Son? Is it the Holy Spirit? And the answer is yes. God is coming, and he is here with us. And listen, don't miss this. He is in you, in you, in you. So when you're getting ready to walk into your home from a tough, busy day, he is in you, and he will empower you to be the husband and father, wife or daughter, whatever it is that you are. He will empower you to be the man or woman of God he's called you to be, child of God he's called you to be. So it requires us to acknowledge his very presence, though. It requires us to yield to the leading and the empowerment of that Spirit. Otherwise, we will default, listen to me, we'll default to doing how we've always done it. And so, the shift, God is in me. We must see it. Therefore, we must live out these truths in our lives. And so, what I'm asking you to do today, I believe because God is everywhere, he is in us, he is with us, that we must practice living and walking in the presence of God. And so if he's with you, that means he's with you right now. I think it would be very helpful to all of us anytime we open his word, anytime we come to church, anytime we are at home and we're speaking, we ask him and we realize that he's at work. Like he wants to change you. Like you've not yet arrived. I've not yet arrived, nowhere close. Just ask Lindsay, right? And so we must come to this place of here I am. I want to be like you. Will you teach me? Will you lead me? Will you change me? This is why in our discipleship groups, we challenge you to do either the tap or the hear, because it's all about what do I learn from the Word of God, and then what am I going to apply, or how am I going to adjust my life to become more like Jesus and the truth of his Word, and then hold each other accountable to live that out. And so today, practice the presence of God. So a couple of things just practically that may help. Set an alarm. Set an alarm on your phone 3 times a day to where you would just stop whatever you're doing and acknowledge, God, you are right here in this moment. Use some of the norms that you already do. Could be some of the mundane things. He says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. So if it's brush your teeth, maybe to make sure you brush long enough, you say, have a prayer. Lord, I'm getting ready to start. Hopefully you brush in the morning. You start your day and you're like, Lord, lead me today. Just as I'm doing this very mundane thing, that I would walk in your presence. Not to be too detailed here, maybe it's throne to throne time. Maybe the porcelain throne to the big throne. I don't know. Whatever it is, you're going to do that a couple of times. So all I'm saying is take the mundane things and use that. I see it as this. If I'm getting ready to walk into something new, whether it's to my home or to my work, that I stop before I walk in and I say, Lord, I'm getting ready to walk into this meeting. I'm going to need you. Give me discernment. Give me words from on high. Help me to speak your truth. Help me to live a life that is honoring to you. Use those transitions. If you have a commute, there's no better time. You're all alone. Turn the radio off. Turn the podcast off. Talk to the Lord. Acknowledge that he's in that vehicle with you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, acknowledge that. And it's going to require you to do that day in, moment by moment, and then be able to be led by him. Acknowledge who he is. He's all powerful, he's all knowing, he's ever present, and he's not just with you, he's in you. And so be led by him. In the way of application, will you acknowledge the presence of God with you each day? Seems really simplistic, but will you acknowledge? It's quite different to acknowledge it. Listen, we are all tempted in different ways. You know where you're tempted. You know how you're going to be tempted. And so before you even walk into it, begin to call to him. Begin to trust him. Begin to walk with him. Will you set one intentional marker that you'll use to walk with God? It could be as soon as you get up. I find reading my Bible first thing in the morning helps me. I go start the coffee and then I open the word. That's me. Find it for you. What's an intentional marker that you do? Set an alarm. Plan and protect that time with him. And I just want to say, spend time with him. Open his word. Ask him to teach you and to lead you. Will you believe in Jesus and surrender your life today? To be led by the Spirit of God that is in us, it will require us to be surrendered as we live our life. Surrender to him. Yes, maybe you believe in him. You believe that he came. You believe he exists. But Jesus promised that God would come, a helper. The Holy Spirit would be in you. Man, there's power in that. Call to him. Run to him. Surrender your life to him. And it will be evident then how you live, because you will look a whole lot like Jesus. And the words that you say, the love that you have for others, the way you forgive, the supernatural ability to be able to lay down pride, like all these things are empowered by the Spirit of God that he's placed in us. Let's bow before him. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We are grateful that, Lord, that there are small things that we can learn about you, the best that we can understand. You can even hear David as he's writing this, like, God, that you would even think about me or have these thoughts about me, like, that's far too high for me to even understand. And Lord, we do our best to try to understand your ways, but you are so separate from us. But God, as we do, we get to learn a little bit more of just how beautiful it is that you would even forgive us, that love us, make a way that we can know you. And so, Lord, I pray that we never stop being amazed by the grace that you have shown us. And so, Lord, will you lead us? Will you help us to surrender to you? If you're here this morning and maybe that's you, you're like, I know I've sinned, I know I've turned against God, and I want to be forgiven. I want to know him. I want to walk with him. I want to be filled with his Spirit. I want to be empowered to live this life that he's called me to. Then I want to tell you, every time in Scripture there's a response of the people. There is a way that they respond. It was a make it known. It was very public. I want to challenge you, cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe you. I want to follow you. Will you forgive me? And then make that known. Don't be ashamed of him, but follow him. If you're here and you know that there is something that he's leading you to do, maybe you just kind of default with just coasting in life, but today you want to prioritize walking with and following him, and I want to challenge you. Don't let those be empty words. But it's going to require intentionality. So set those alarms. Make a commitment to get up and spend time with him. But trust him. Lord, lead and guide us from here. Help us to have courage to follow you, even if it's to do something hard. Lord, lead and guide us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you would stand as we worship, I want to invite you to respond to the Lord. If that means humbly on your knees up here, you come. If that means going to someone and saying, hey, would you pray for me? I know that I've been distracted. If today you say, I want to believe in Jesus, I want to be made new, you come. I'd love to encourage you. Let's follow the Lord.
You dance over me I am unaware. You sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. You paint the morning sky with miracles in mind. My hope will always stand. You hold me in your hand. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed. How you love me, Lord, I'm amazed by you, Lord, I'm amazed by you, Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me, how I
church, I want to introduce you. This is Justin and Bailey. They have been married for 2 months now.
Yay.
And yeah, you can give a hand for it. Yeah, 2 months. They made it. They made it already. 2 months. Daughters Riley and remind me, I'm so sorry.
Emerson.
Yeah. Morgan and Gentry also. But Justin is coming today to join our church. And so I got to meet with him, hear his testimony, what God has been doing in their life. And so as a church, if you'll welcome them, stand by them, pray for them. If you would, raise your hand and say amen.
Oh.
All right. Super excited for you guys. Please come by, welcome them, get to know them. I love you, church. Remember, you are sent. Go and walk in the power of the God that is in you. Love you.
You are God alone from before time began.